Well, we finally made it. Today is the final Sabbath of 2020. You know, it's been a year full of challenges, trials, issues, and extremely unusual events. Think back to January. Who could have imagined what this year would have transpired? We're walking around with face masks when we go outside. We're having church from our homes. We're not congregating. We're not going to restaurants. Why? How could we have imagined this back in January? But we have an opportunity now to look back on everything that's passed by this last year and learn from it and learn what and how God would have us to learn from this year. The title of this message this morning is Reflections, and we're going to reflect a little bit upon what happened in the last year. What kind of year has 2020 been for you? If you had to place it on a scale from 1 to 10, with 10 being the highest, where would it rate? Would anyone rate 2020 high? Some people might. It might be because of success at work or school, maybe because of improved relationships within your family, or maybe someone new. Maybe it was because of new challenges that came in our work, our school, our everyday life that we were able to overcome. Maybe some people do rate it high. On the other hand, maybe some people rated 2020 a 1 or a 2. A lot of people in the media are putting it down at 1 or 2. Maybe everything that could have gone wrong did go wrong. But think back on the things that you experienced in 2020, things that you might have said or done. Do you have any regrets? Are there things that you wish you could have said or done differently? I know there's a lot for me. What about your relationship with God? Did it flourish in 2020? Or did it just hover around where 2019 ended? Or did it regress? We're going to take a peek back into 2020 and see what we can learn from it to carry us forward into 2021. In the same book of 2 Corinthians in chapter 9, verse 8, it says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." No matter what has occurred in this past year, God's abundant grace is sufficient for even the bad things to turn about into good. And the good things, the good events that happen, can be elevated even higher. Before we open up the Word, I ask that you pray with me right now. Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity that we have to come before you today. We thank you that you are with us today. We also thank you that you've given us your Word so that we can learn more about you. And as we come to your Word now, we ask that you give us eyes to see what you would have put in your Word. I pray that the Holy Spirit would teach us and guide us in the truth of your Word. And I pray that there's so much relevancy that we would see in your Word for our personal lives. Let us incorporate what we learned today in the very fabric of our being. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we come to the end of the year, it's a time when a lot of people review the last year, create resolutions for the coming year, and make plans for what are going to be accomplished. And there's sort of something artificial about that. This always seemed to me. Certainly, it's an arbitrary milestone to reflect back on the previous 365 days. Now, couldn't this activity be done any day? Could it be done monthly, weekly? But somehow we are conditioned to perform this exercise at the end of December. But regardless of when we reflect, whether it is the end of December, or the end of a month, or the end of a week, or the end of a day, I believe it is a very important exercise and can be very valuable to us in our walk with God. Today, there's a few questions that I'd like to discuss with you. First, should we review our spiritual walk that we've had in the last year? How can reflecting on the past year help us into the future? And why should we do this now? Some of you know that in my day work, I'm a software development manager. In our work, we frequently perform what we call retrospectives. And this is a short review after an event has occurred to learn from it. These can be held after any kind of event, mostly a significant event. We have releases of our software every 3 weeks, and we have a retrospective. We plan retrospectives, and we execute them when something goes really well, and also when things go not so well. We proactively schedule retrospectives when we make changes in our development processes to review them after a few months. In these retrospectives, I try to get the answers to the following questions. We ask, what did we do that we want to keep doing? What did we do that we want to stop doing? And what did we do, or what do we want to start doing? I think that we can and perhaps might want to use a similar approach and review our spiritual walk every so often. In fact, Jesus seemed to do this same kind of retrospective in a very short parable he had. In Luke chapter 13, in verses 6 through 9, he gives a very short parable. It's pretty well known, and it goes like this. In verse 6, he says, "He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then he said to the dresser of the vineyard, 'Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit from this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground?' And he answered, said unto him, 'Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bears fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down.' Now the owner of this fig tree, the owner of the vineyard, was certainly within his rights to say, 'Cut it down.' He'd been coming there for 3 years. This one tree had had nothing for it. It was a dry, useless fig tree. But still, doesn't it hurt your sense to hear him just say, 'Cut it down?' In this parable, we are the fig tree. We may have had fruit in the past, but for the recent years, we might have been barren. Maybe we're just growing in to the fruit-bearing time, but we still haven't produced. Have we asked ourselves if we're bearing fruit for God? I know I keep sucking up air and water and nutrition, all true blessings from God, but what fruit have I produced for God to show for it? In this parable, Jesus is the gardener. He replies, 'Let it alone.' He protects us while he goes the extra mile and works with us to produce fruit. He's not willing to give up on us. He's not willing to let us alone. He wants to give us every opportunity. And he's not willing to cut us down at the first sign of barrenness. If we're this fig tree, what do we need to learn? How do we need to learn in order to produce fruit for our master? Well, we can learn from the past behaviors and experiences. If we look back, we can ask ourselves, should we review our spiritual walk in the past year? You know, the Bible doesn't speak much about looking backward. In fact, it much more often counsels for us to look forward, to see and claim the promises for our future. So we have to ask, is it right to look back and review? Does God look back and hold all of our miscues, all of our errors, all of our sins in his mind? He certainly sees everything, and he knows all too well what has transpired for us in the year. If we don't take steps, everything is remembered. If we hold on to a particular behavior or sin, God does remember it. But, praise God, Jesus makes a wonderful provision for us. He will not go back to, he will not look back at our previous errors or transgressions if we go to him, truly repent, and ask for his forgiveness. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And those sins are not just forgiven, they're not just cleansed, they are removed forever. Psalms 103:12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. So should we review our past? Absolutely, if only to ensure that we have laid all of our sins, all of our problems at Jesus' feet, and he can take them away. However, looking back involves much more than just identifying sins that we must ask Jesus to forget. Looking back involves looking back on our successes so we can repeat them as an educational tool. Looking back on our mistakes so we can better avoid them in the future. Although our sins can be washed clean, we can learn from our situations where we got into those places where we were sinning. Praise God, James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that he giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and shall be given to him. We can learn from those situations in the past when we know we did something against God's will. Looking back to identify our blessings also allows us to appreciate what God has done for us, and this can bolster our faith. How is your faith today? You might say that 2020 has been a terrible year, but have you praised God through all things in this year? I know I woke up this morning from an evening sleep in my warm bed. It was freezing outside. I got dressed in nice clothes I was able to pick and choose from a rack in my closet. I chose what I wanted to eat from a really with just these things, I've been blessed more today than probably three-quarters of the people on this earth. Well, how's it with you? Have you been blessed already today? 1 Chronicles 16:8 through 10 says, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people, sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of his wondrous works, glory ye in his holy name, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. How has God blessed you in 2020? I know personally, I would not be speaking today if it weren't for COVID. Now, months ago, when the Vista Church had closed their doors, and I, Pastor Elson, and I exchanged a few texts, and next thing I know, I was speaking to you all. And this has been such a blessing for me. I'm blessed also in 2020 when I see that people in our culture are caring more for each other than ever before. People are shopping for each other. They're asking each other if they can pick them up and take them to the doctor, take them on errands. We have people in the church that we have here in Colorado who are making and donating facial masks. Other people are helping at Thanksgiving, distributing food, more than I've ever seen before. I'm heaven blessed that I've seen that there are angels everywhere, disguised as healthcare workers, first responders, and especially teachers. Do we have anything to praise God about in 2020? Absolutely. But only when we reflect can we call these blessings to mind. So how can reflecting on the past year help us into the future? First of all, we have to realize that no matter what happened in the past, good or bad, it cannot be undone. What mistakes we've made cannot be unmade. And what sins we've committed cannot be uncommitted. However, we can recognize our need and claim the promises in 1 John 1:9, which I said earlier. Now, going back to that parable in Luke 13, the gardener led the gardener to work with the tree a little bit longer. He isn't willing to give up on the tree, on you and I, just yet. He's going to dig around the soil to enrich it, make it richer, with more food, provide fertilizer. If the soil is parched, he's going to bring water to it. He's going to do everything he can to make changes in us. But what's the goal for all of that? Later on in John 15, verse 5, Jesus tells us, he says, I am the vine and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Without me, ye can do nothing. The key is to be connected with Jesus. Reviewing our relationship to make sure that connection is strong, is vital, and we can look at it and see, do we have to make any changes in that connection? This past week, we've had very strong western winds in our house. They've gone up to about 45 miles an hour. And when this happens, often gusts will shake the house and blow out the pilot on our hot water heater. We have learned to check the pilot light is on before stepping into the shower. Wouldn't we do the same thing with our connection to Jesus? To check, make sure that our connection with him is still good, strong? Well, some people can't reflect back on the past hurdles. Think about all the things that went wrong. And in fact, there are a couple places in the Bible where it does talk about 24 through 26, everyone knows the story. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew the city and all the plant and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a bearer of salt. We know the story. Lot's wife turned into a salt because she looks back at Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, we know that the men in Sodom and Gomorrah were utterly evil. God said, two angels rescued Lot, as many people as would come with him. Unfortunately, Lot, his wife, and two daughters at stake, and his wife, she turned into a pillar of salt. Why? Most probably because she had not made a complete break from what was in Sodom and the lifestyle that was led there. When we reflect on our lives in the past, we must be ready to make that complete break from anything that keeps us from getting to God. We must be ready to lay down any coveted sin at Jesus' feet. We cannot be looking back on it or cherish it if we're going to continue on going forward. Also, as we reflect back on our lives, in this past year, we must not become discouraged by the times we might have failed God. Deuteronomy 1:21 says, Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath said unto thee, Fear not, neither be discouraged. We are going to not always live up to what God wants. But he wants us to keep going, to keep trying, and to keep going closer to him and not get discouraged. And finally, as we reflect upon the past year, we must do so to draw us closer to God. Not to brag on how far we've come or to identify the times when we really were close to God, not to compare ourselves with others. When we compare ourselves to others, we're choosing the wrong target. We need to be comparing ourselves to Jesus. And when we do that, whatever we do, however good it is, it just doesn't measure up. We're not to count our blessings as currency to see how many we got compared to our neighbors. But we need to see, but only to see that we need more of God in our lives. So why should we do this now? We're at the end of the year. We're thinking about 2021. Why do we do this now? Well, let me ask you, has your walk with God changed you? Really beholding the true gospel will change people. We should become more like Jesus each and every day in little steps. We need the perseverance of Christ in the face of affliction this year. We need to learn from the example of Christ in dealing with day-to-day complexities, day-to-day issues, day-to-day disappointments. We need to be the people that radiate the beauty and truth of Christ and be light shining in our own environments, however big they are. The only way we can do this is by beholding Him. Why should we reflect now? No matter how this year has gone so far, and there's only a little bit left in 2020, just six more days, five more days, we can finish stronger tomorrow than we are today. It's never too late to finish well. You know, in Revelation, John was exiled to the Alcatraz of the day, Patmos. And he tells us why in Revelation 1, verse 9, the second part of that scripture, he says, I, John, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. John tells us he was exiled to Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. You know, I wonder, even though he was exiled to Patmos, how many people he continued to talk to about Jesus while he was on Patmos. Certainly he couldn't stop talking all up to that point, to the point where the Romans said, you got to get onto this island in the middle of the ocean. And he wasn't going to stop talking about Jesus then. The primary way to gaze at Jesus today is through his word. We are so blessed that we have his word with us today so abundantly, and we could take advantage of it so much. And by observing Christ through his word, we can recognize the grace he has extended to us each and every day. So, what difference does it make if we know all of this? How do we apply this in our lives? One of my favorite verses in the Bible is 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 27. Know ye not that they which run a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. Now they that do it obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, for I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should get cast away. Paul, in writing this to the Corinthians, recognized the need to continually maintain his body, to continually to maintain himself, to bring his own desires and wishes unto subjection to God's. And he did this every day. How can we use this? Well, first of all, ask yourself, when you're in your study, when you're talking to your God, when you're considering reading the Bible, ask yourself, why am I doing this? Are you doing something because you were told to do it, or because you want to have a deeper relationship with God? If you're doing it because you have to do it, you won't establish that relationship with God. Go into your prayer closet. Go into your study, asking God to reveal more and more about himself to you today. Ask yourself also, why am I doing it in this way? The way you pray, you act, you read the Bible. Is this the right way? Be ready to rearrange your patterns and habits in these areas. Shake it up a little bit. Pick up a new study program. Select a read through the Bible in a year or a 6-month program. Memorize scripture. Set a goal for yourself to memorize 2 verses a week. Think about that, 2 verses a week. You'll be at over 100 when we talk again this time next year. Finally, renew your commitments to spend time with God, either in prayer or reading the Word or both. You know, it's a good time to review 2020. We're near the end, and we can look back and see so much has happened to us personally. So much has happened in our culture. So many changes have come upon us. I praise God for the technology that we do have to be able to continue to worship Him as a church family. It's good to see where we have come from, to see the sin that so easily besets us, so that we can appreciate more where we want to go. It allows us to change our course more perfectly to align with God. In summary, we need to remember John 15:5. I said it before. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. We need to look back on 2020. Remove any of the dead branches. Remove anything that is keeping us from abiding more fully, more wholly with Jesus, so that we can bring forth much fruit for Him. And Lord, add a blessing to this message.
At this time, we will have the hymn of affirmation. This is Sister Dawn and Sister Donya Tayag. Hymn number 120, There's a Song in the Air. There's a song in the air, there's a star in the sky, there's a mother's deep prayer, and a baby's low cry. And the star reads its fire while the beautiful sing. For the manger of Bethlehem cradles a king. There's a tumult of joy o'er the wonderful birth. For the virgin sweet boy is the Lord of the earth. By the star reads its fire while the beautiful sing. For the manger of Bethlehem cradles a king. In the light of that star lie the ages impearled, and that song from afar has swept over the world. Every heart is a flame and a beautiful thing. In the hopes of the nations that Jesus is King. We rejoice in the light and we echo the song that comes down through the night from the heavenly throng. May we shout to the lovely evangel they bring, and we greet in his cradle our Savior and King.
What has God done for you in this past year? Have you progressed in 2020? Have you considered all the blessings He's given to you? If you have never taken the time to talk to God about His blessings, I urge you to do it today. At this time, this time of the year, we make plans, we make resolutions for the coming year, but we don't know what's going to bring in the coming year. We only know that we have the next few minutes. God has promised us a blessing on the Sabbath, and I urge you to take it. Speak with him today. Thank him for the blessings, and ask him how you can be used in the coming year. And now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. And may the Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.
It's a peace that the world cannot give. It's a peace that the world cannot understand. Peace to know, peace to live. My peace I give unto you. My joy I give unto you. It's a joy that the world cannot give. It's a joy that the world cannot understand. Joy to know. Joy to live, my joy I give unto you. My love I give unto you. It's a love that the world cannot give. It's a love that the world cannot understand. Love to know, love to live. My love I give unto you.
Amen.
By now being made free from sin and having become servants of God, you have your fruit of sanctification and the result of eternal life.